Let's now take this time to go to Lord's Day number 49, in the Heidelberg Catechism. We now arrive at the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us how to pray to Him. So please respond to the question 124. What is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men renounce our own will and without disputing obey your will, which alone is good, so that everyone may fulfill his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. It's very short, the petition, that we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will as opposed to our will. And I think it's a very legitimate question as you walk your Christian life to always ask yourself, every time you, in all your relationships, in all everything that you do, everything you say, I think it's a legitimate question to ask yourself, is what I am doing God's will or is it my will? Or maybe to even put it more in a convicting way, is what I'm doing my will masquerading as God's will? That's a scary question to ask, but it's a good one to ask yourself. And I think when we reflect on this, when we reflect on ourselves, we're going to see the inconsistencies in ourselves, especially in our relationships, whether with a spouse, with our children, or with friends, or with family. But the Word of God is clear. It's not that the Word of God isn't clear. It's not, God's will isn't clear as to what His will is. It's us that makes it complicated. And I want to make a couple comments from Titus chapter 2. Make a couple of brief points from Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Paul is talking. Paul has just given brief exhortations, instructions to all these different groups of people in the church. He's given an instruction to the younger women. He's given instruction to the younger men and to the bondservants. But Paul wants to be very clear that all of these instructions that he's given, that he's giving to these groups of people, is not to follow some kind of moral ethic. Because Christianity is not just moral ethics, just doing the right thing or doing good things. Everything about our life is transformed by the grace of God that we have received in Jesus Christ. God who brings salvation to us, appearing to all men. And I'm tempted to go on that rabbit trail, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say briefly that all men does not mean everyone who's ever existed. This is speaking about all types of men. Paul makes a similar argument in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is not a universalist. But what he's talking about is the grace of God bringing salvation, appearing to all types of men, regardless of age, class, or gender, whether Jew or Gentile. All kinds of men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. These two go hand in hand. Being transformed by the reality of the gospel, he's telling us to deny ungodliness and to deny worldly lusts. Ungodliness can refer to, at least put it succinctly the actions, the activities of the world, of unbelievers. We don't join them. We don't walk with the world and do what the world does in participating in their hatred towards God and the rebellion towards God. We don't participate in those things that they do. But also, keep in mind that we're not, Christians are not just separating ourselves from certain behaviors of the world. That's not the point here, because it also couples with worldly lusts. The Christian life is not about running away from the presence of sin. The Christian life is not about our behaviors of looking clean on the outside or looking good on the outside, because there's nowhere in creation where we can run away from the presence of sin. You can be in an island all by yourself and still struggle or fight against worldly lusts. Why? Because of what takes place in here, in your heart, what takes place in here, in your mind. Worldly lust comes from our own hearts. And so in reality of the gospel, we're called to deny the practices of worldliness, of participating in the rebellion of God, but also in the activities of rebellion against God, but also denying the lusts of the flesh. Jesus did not say, does not pray, I should say, Jesus does not pray that we would be taken out of the world. In fact, he says the exact opposite in John 17. Father, I pray that you do not take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Which is why Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. The light there's no contrast if the light is amongst other light. But the picture is that light penetrating the darkness. Because that's what Christ does. He penetrates the darkness. And also he calls us to be the salt of the earth. The salt needs to come out of the salt shaker to preserve, to do something. That's what salt does. It preserves. And so Paul is calling us not to run away from the presence of the world or run away from the world itself, but denying the practices of ungodliness, but also the lusts of the world. We don't love the same things that the world loves. In response to that, he says, no, we are to live soberly, which means self-controlled. Self-control, in control of our own actions, in control of our own thoughts, in control of our own words. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? So living sober lives, meaning self-controlled, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Righteously, we're called to live righteously, which he explains later on as being zealous for good works. We're called to reflect God's holiness and his righteousness. We're called to conform to his law. We're zealous to do acts of mercy. We're zealous to do good works that reflect who our God is, which actually runs into the third and last description Paul gives, is to live godly, meaning living in a way that reflects Jesus Christ. As we conform ourselves to Christ and to his image, to his character, to his will. The further down the line that we grow in our faith and we grow in grace, we will recognize what is God's will and what is our will. More and more we will be able, not only be able to recognize, but to suppress, to die to that selfish will. Thanks be to God that he has given us a gospel, that we have been changed by the gospel. He has transformed us and continues to transform us day by day. He gives us His word for wisdom. He gives us His Spirit to cleanse us, to bring us to Christ who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen.